This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ritz here. It's the Adam Ritz Show. Jay Baker joining me. Jay, are you ready to talk public affairs?
I am. You know, it's never a bad time to talk about public affairs. Public affairs were created to help people live a better life. And you and I have thankfully been a part of that for many years now. And I just feel like we're doing the public a lot of greater good.
That should be a T-shirt. I think you just came up with a slogan there. Not the whole thing. That's a one giant T-shirt. But just when you said it's always a good day for public affairs.
Oh, that goes without saying.
Put it on a bumper sticker. I wanted to start, Jay, today with a story I saw this week out of Minnesota at St. Peter's High School. There was a real touching moment. One of the seniors on the team, it was senior night, and he has Down syndrome. And I believe he's at, you know, like an acting manager on the team. And he got in the game and scored. It was an impressive shot. This was not a layup that was rebounded three or four times to finally get in. He pulled up from, 15 feet and swished the sucker. And the team goes crazy, but the game's not over, Jay. And if I could describe in more detail what happened next, and I encourage you and all of everyone, in fact, I will later too, go search this out on your favorite search engine, because the video is amazing. As the clock's winding down to triple zeros, he throws up another shot, like a baseline 12-footer, and it goes in at the buzzer. And not only did his team go crazy, but the competing team, the other team, went almost as nuts. And there was a court storming. Every fan in the stands came down. It was super cool.
And I love stories like that.
Yeah, and those videos are so fun to see. I mean, how many times do you doom scroll, and you just see useless content? Negative content, just stuff that gives you a headache or makes you stressed out. This was a video that really warms your heart and makes you smile. So I encourage everybody to search this out. The young man's name is Mason Doherty, and again, senior on St. Peter's, the Saints in Minnesota. Congratulations to him and everybody else on the boys basketball team that they did end up defeating the other team. Due in part to the two shots this young man made. So hats off and congratulations.
As I always say at the end, he was the spark that gave him the victory.
Yes,
good
sir.
Job.
All right. What else is happening?
Here's a cool story. You know, I'm kind of amazed. Maybe not everybody is, because you look at certain things and some people go, it's a smartwatch. I'm impressed with smartwatch technology because they are adding a pretty major safety feature to Google's Pixel Watch. The agency, the Federal Drug Administration, has cleared a loss of pulse detection on Pixel Watch 3. And what that means is the feature was announced last August. It's currently available in 14 countries. Their approval now paves the way for it to be available in the U.S. by the end of next month. The feature is designed to ask the watch user if they're okay if a pulse is not detected. If there's no response, the watch calls 911 and also gives the location of the user.
That is fantastic news in the world of technology. And, you know, we just mentioned doom scrolling and how negative social media can be and a lot of content online can be. Here's a story that is not only good news, but it could save your life. I love it, Jay.
Yeah. Well, it's once again, it's technology and Apple Watch. If I am not mistaken, if I'm reading it properly, their watch has a built-in accelerometer, which helps it detect motion, because you probably know in the smartwatch world, they want to make its use almost seamless. Most smartwatches don't know what type of exercise you're doing. It detects that your heartbeat has raised, but they don't know if you're on a treadmill, if you're on a bike, if you're jogging up the trail that runs behind your neighborhood, unless you tell it. In some cases, there is an auto detect feature that you can set up. But the reason why I bring that up, the Apple smartwatch is using the accelerometer that if you're involved in a big enough accelerative event, they perceive it as that you've had some kind of accident, and you can program that particular watch feature to dial 911 on your behalf. So if you fell off your bike or you're trail running and you fall, or even if you flew off your treadmill, presumably, the accelerometer would detect, hey, that's not normal.
There is a chance, though, if your heart rate is out of control, you're watching your team lose in the basketball tournament.
See, we're in tournament season. I knew you'd somehow wind that back in there, that you're watching your favorite team go down to the 27th seed.
And that's almost equivalent to loss of pulse detection. But really, with the smartwatch, the possibilities, I mean, can you imagine every single aspect of your physicality being monitored by a smart device and with a reactionary service? So, you know, just top of your head, think about you have bad breath. The smartwatch knows it and orders you some breath mints.
It detects that you didn't brush as you should have.
It knows.
And it books you in an appointment for an orthodontist and breath mints.
It knows when you've got like some toenail issues, some toe jam. It books you a pedicure, and you get a notification on your smartwatch that tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. you're due at the pedicure facility.
The facility. I think it's called the nail place,
but I
know what you're talking about. The facility. There's a facility you go to. Sir, do you have a loading dock? Because I'm bringing my toes in.
Let's say,
I think it's cool.
Let's say you look at your smartwatch and you can't read it anymore. It orders you readers, and you get some glasses in the mail. So
it does.
The possibilities are endless.
I love that. Well, you know, we do try to make things super easy for people, and I will tell you, I had a recent checkup, and my doctor said, "Be sure to enable, because I have the right model watch for this." The EKG feature, because he goes, believe it or not, you can get a televisit with their doctor's office and actually download that file from the EKG from your smartwatch. And while it's probably not, you know, top of the line medical grade, it's a good enough EKG that your doctor can actually take a look at it and determine if further medical intervention is necessary.
It's before long, life expectancy will be about 165 years old.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that part's coming.
It's coming.
And, you and I always chuckle a little bit about, you know, certain times of the year, like, hey, it's football season. We're going to have to snack a little bit more, but don't have that infringe upon my health. I don't want my doctor going, oh, it's football season, so you're going to be ordering more wings and pizza. You don't want that. But, you know, the watch is going to make it harder and harder to order more wings and pizza. Have you noticed?
If you don't have some pizza sauce or wing sauce on your smartwatch dripped on, your watch will know it, and it'll order you DoorDash.
It will. It'll order DoorDash. Hey, we always talked about artists that do great things. Elton John had a concert at Dodger Stadium Many people felt that was going to be his last U.S. stadium show, but he now says he'll perform at San Diego's Petco Park on May 9th, a benefit for Concert for Cures, which has raised more than $8.5 million since 2022 to support adult and pediatric cancer research in Southern California.
That is fantastic. Benefit for Concert for Cures, Elton John in San Diego, you say?
Yeah, he's going to be at Petco Park. So that's a big facility, obviously, and they raise a lot of money. Elton's still a Southern California guy. He's Mr. L.A. People have said that every once in a while they'll look up and there goes Elton.
You know, I've got you bring up music and concert benefits. I've got a follow-up report for you. We talked a few weeks ago about Michael McDonald performing in a few benefit concerts. He did this in the same week on each coast. So he played in New York City on a Thursday night at the 9th annual Love Rocks NYC. And then three nights later on the Saturday night, he played in Santa Barbara, California, at a concert for first responders. And I've got the math on what those concerts raised. The one in California on the Saturday night raised $300,000 for first responders. And the concert in New York raised $4 million.
Wow.
I don't particularly know the financing of the concert biz, but I have to believe some mega donors stepped up, some sponsorships and mega donors, because I don't know how much ticket prices would have to be to make $4 million on a concert. But it wasn't just Michael McDonald. The one in New York had Cher, Peter Frampton, if you remember.
Yeah, you said that the lineup was pretty impressive.
It was through the roof. And then the one on the West Coast in Santa Barbara had Kenny Loggins, Toad the Wet Sprocket, and Hootie and the Blowfish. So congrats to Michael McDonald and friends for raising $4.3 million between those two shows.
Very cool. And not to go on and on, I know you're going to say, boy, that's all you guys talked about was concerts. But I did want to bring this one up because you can still get tickets to this one. Neil Young, Billy Idol, and others will be in the Light Up the Blues fundraiser. This is a brainchild of Stephen Stills and his wife, Kristen. They host the Autism Speaks Light Up the Blues concert. It's going to happen April 26th at the Greek Theater in L.A. Joining them will be Neil Young, Billy Idol, Linda Perry, Cat Power, Christina Applegate, and even a couple of Stephen Stills' sons. Proceeds benefit Autism Speaks. Stephen and Kristen's son, Henry, was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome and is profiled in the 2007 documentary Autism the Musical. This event started back in 2013, has featured a lot of musical legends, and tickets are available through Ticketmaster for the Light Up the Blues fundraiser.
That's so fun. I hope Steve Lukather knows about this. Steve, founding member, guitarist of Toto, his son has autism. So I don't know exactly where their tour is right now. If he's available in the United States, I'm sure he might even be involved with this. I have a quick Linda Perry story for you.
Yeah.
You mentioned she will perform at this benefit concert. And for our listeners, the name Linda Perry may not, you know, it's not a household name. It's not like Billy Idol or Neil Young. But I guarantee you that you know who she is. And I'm not going to tell you who she was the lead singer for yet, because that's part of the fun of this story. Jay, do you know if you know the answer, don't say it. Do you know who she was the lead singer for?
You know, I do not.
Okay, then this may be a fun story for you to hear. Back in my modern rock radio days in the late 90s, early 2000s, I'm backstage at a event broadcasting live, and I can't even remember who the band was. Let's just say it was Green Day or Stone Temple Pilots or a band like that. You know, a big band, a well-known band. and the opening act was Linda Perry. And I had zero name recognition for this artist, none at all, just like you right now. And the record rep comes out to the broadcast and says, hey, do you want to do an interview with Linda? And of course I said, yes, why not? And I said, yeah, bring her out. And you know, when you interview somebody you don't know, you just, it's a general conversation. Just how long have you been playing music? Tell us about the new album, blah, blah, blah. What's it like, you know, playing with Stone Temple Pilots or whoever she was with? Tell us some stories, tour bus stories, you know, and you just have a fun conversation. Well, I'm talking to this woman. I have no idea who she is. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, she says this. Well, back when I used to sing with Four Non Blondes, blah, 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 blah. And Four Non Blondes was one of my favorite bands when I was in college.
Oh, yeah. They were big. Yeah.
They had a monster hit called What's Up. And I'm not going to sing it, but if for our friends that don't quite know the band name Four Non Blondes, the hit song you'll know if I could sing was What's Going On? And I say, yeah. And it's kind of a...
Oh, yeah, that song.
You know, you just, you hold hands in a circle, and it's a group sing-along. It's just a fantastic song. And she was the lead singer for that band. And, I mean, if you remember the music video, she had on this top hat and goggles, a very interesting look. And, you know, that was in the early 90s. Well, 10 years later, in the early 2000s, she looked a little different. She didn't have the hat on or goggles, so I didn't recognize her by face. And when she said she sang with Four Non Blondes, my jaw dropped, and I was, like, starstruck, more so than maybe I've ever been. Because I remember, you know, they're from Atlanta, and we drove 9 hours one night to go see the Four Non Blondes in Atlanta. So just a quick side story on who Linda Perry is. And if you go to this show, you'll not only hear White Wedding from Billy Idol, but you'll hear What's Up from Linda Perry, the voice of Four Non Blondes.
That's great. And we've talked about this. If you can combine, you were going to go to a number of concerts anyway. Why not go to this huge event and then help other people that need the help, you know?
Light Up the Blues fundraiser concert for Autism Speaks.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. So that might be a little tough if you're listening to our show on the East Coast. But as Adam and I say, road trip.
Is that
that way you can stop at Bucky's and check out the wall of snacks.
Is that the namesake theater in the film Get 'Em to the Greek?
Yes, it is, my friend.
Oh, I might want to go to this show just to see that theater. That's a great movie.
Get 'Em to the Greek. What a great movie.
It really has
nothing
to do with public affairs or making your life better.
No, I love Jonah Hill, and I love Russell Brand. And you put them together, it's a male love fest in my book.
It is a mess. It's a train wreck. It's a great film, and it has nothing to do with this benefit concert.
No, but if you need a laugh, I mean, they say laughter is the best medicine. So, you know, rent the movie and enjoy.
Very well.
Hey, here, have you heard about this? You're going to think I'm making this up. There is a doomsday vault. Have you heard about this?
Doom or Dune?
Doomsday vault. It's even kind of hard to say slowly.
Okay.
D-O-O-M-S day vault.
A doomsday vault. Is this anything close to like a panic room or a bomb shelter?
Well, it is probably bomb shelter-esque. It holds seeds to preserve in case an apocalypse happens to our planet. This has been in on a remote Norwegian Arctic island. It was set up in 2008. It is called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. It is 430 feet underground, deep inside a mountain.
This could be a streaming show on a platform. It sounds like the show Silo comes to mind. There's another great show called Paradise, end of the world apocalypse type stuff. And it's happening, you're saying, in where? Norway?
It's up in Norway on a Norwegian Arctic island. You know, we can see it now where they drop off some survivors and they have to go get some seeds to the global seed vault.
So let's say the extinction level event happens. Do we go to the vault? Do a select few get to go? Or they're just going to have the vault to be able to distribute seeds to the rest of us?
Only you ask those kinds of questions, Adam. Come on.
You know what?
You went to a school that featured agriculture study. You know.
I think
you got to get the seeds to the people.
I think the host of radio shows are invited, but the co-hosts are not.
No, they are not. And I heard that if you broadcast there, they have great snacks. Who knows?
I will share my seeds with you.
There you go. The vault was set up in 2008, as we were saying. They just added, this is kind of cool. You know, like you and I know, anytime you think about stuff that's post-apocalyptic, it literally is, you know, sort of the meat and potatoes of all these great shows. You know, it's like zombies are walking the planet and we need to reseed the fields. You know, call this. I'm sure there's an 800 number, isn't there?
There should be.
Yeah. But they just added 14,000 more seed samples, including one from a tree in Sweden and a special rice that grows in Thailand.
Okay. So I'm guessing mostly food, but they are they also, you know, doing the seeds just for pretty much all vegetation, just to keep so things don't become extinct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the dealio. It says, besides storing old and new seeds, future scientists can use them to create new plants. Tourists are not allowed to visit, and the doors only open 3 times a year to accept new seeds.
Oh, wow. This is
so that's kind of cool. And I mean, when you think about a vault, it actually exists and it is chock-a-block full of seeds.
400 feet underground.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. This is all right.
They need a website like seeds.com.
Yeah, with a webcam so we can watch the seeds.
That would be cool. You know, we talked a little bit about this. Obviously, it's like anything in the world. Please use moderation. That's always the key for anything that's fun or potentially too much fun. But interesting totals on the amount of U.S. sports betting for the year 2024. It was a big year for sports betting in the United States. I think most states now have some form of sports betting. I mean, with the exception of maybe a handful, but wouldn't you say, I don't have the list here in front of me, but it's a very large number of states have accepted sports betting.
It is, it's prevalent. I mean, from the late 90s when the riverboats became prevalent, and the laws said that the structure had to float or be on the water. And then casinos started figuring out a loophole that if you built a casino and just put a moat around it with at least a foot of water, that counted as a casino being on the quote unquote on the water.
Right.
And laws have just become more and more relaxed each and every year. And, you know, some of these riverboat casinos from the late 90s that could only have slot machines are now, you know, 100,000 square feet casinos with a sports book and, you know, live action betting with table gambling like craps and blackjack with live dealers. So the physical casinos are everywhere. Some of those physical casinos now have apps, and then there are software casinos that are apps only. They don't have a physical location. So, yeah, if you want to place a bet or gamble, you pretty much can in almost every location in the country.
Yeah, it's sort of part and parcel. Obviously, if you have a gambling problem, make sure you call the appropriate numbers, et cetera. Talk to a professional for a little bit of help. But this is an interesting number. The industry pulled in $13.7 billion in revenue last year.
That is such an enormous amount of money. And like you said, if you have a gambling problem, a lot of that money lost really affected a lot of lives in a very negative way. So
yeah, you got to be super careful
about
that.
Very serious.
But it does show you how prevalent it's become. In fact, last year, 2023, that they have numbers for, it was a little bit over $11 billion. So a $2 billion uptick in just 1 year. According to the American Gaming Association, sportsbooks nationally took in almost $150 billion in wagers, and they won at a rate of about 9.3%. So if you've ever wondered what the so-called handle going back to the house is, it's just a tick under 10%.
The juice. They got to stay in business somehow. There's a lot of light bulbs in Las Vegas, and they're paid for by you.
And I know we're starting to wind down the show. This is they're trying to find some answers at the Berlin airport. Apparently, airport officials are looking for the owner of a Volkswagen that's been parked in the short-term parking lot long enough to rack up over $200,000 in parking fees. This is at the Brandenburg Airport. If this is your car, my suggestion, I don't want you to break any laws, but I would just leave the car.
Yeah, that's throw your key. Don't even come back to give your keys and give the car away. Just throw your keys in a river.
Yes, you probably should. The Brandenburg Airport, this particular lot, is usually meant for people coming to pick people up. Somehow this car got parked there. The actual physical cost is $23 per hour. So it's been parked there for a while. Police believe the car was likely stolen and driven to the airport where it was then abandoned. So, yes, apparently this car was engaged in some wrongdoing.
Well, this is a beginning of a great movie, because I'm guessing if they abandoned it there, that means they went inside the airport, bought a one-way ticket to start their new life.
That's right.
That is a great beginning to a script.
Yep, the plates don't match the car, so that's where the mystery thickens. But yeah, $200,000 in parking fees. I like the fact that the car went unnoticed for quite a long time. I don't know if that's a reflection on anybody. I'm not claiming that's an oversight on security, because it's a car that's parked. You know, it wasn't hurting anybody, but it sat there long enough to rack up $200,000 in parking fees.
Yeah, that parking lot may not have even really had an attendant. If
or if the attendant was there, he was not particularly observant.
Yeah, you're not paying me enough to notice if a car has been here for 6 months or not. But yeah, do you tell your boss after 6 months, hey, I noticed this car?
Absolutely.
Wouldn't your boss say, why didn't you tell us about this 4 months ago?
Well, and this is, wonderfully, serendipity. It was the Berlin airport, and it was a Volkswagen. So that could have been part of it as well. You have a German car at a German airport. Everything all blended in.
You know what? It makes sense. It blends right in, and that does not call attention to itself.
So most expensive Volkswagen in the world is potentially on sale in Berlin.
Well, that's a great reminder for the rest of us to watch where you park, stay up on your parking tickets. You don't want to be suspended. All right, Jay Baker, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your great insights in the world of public affairs. for our listeners, if you'd like to share this broadcast, this particular show, or any of our previous shows that are in podcast form on our website, AdamRitzShow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.